On this episode of the Ugly Truth About Business podcast, I have an incredible session with my friend and brother, Jamel Sanders. Jamel is the founder and CEO of the Jamel Sanders International, a global management consulting, leadership, and advisory firm providing world-class services to leaders and entrepreneurs all around the world. Jamel, just like me, is a life and business strategist, an author, speaker, podcast host, prophetic voice, that's not like me, success mentor, and a highly respected thought leader. And as one of the most respected voices in the world, he is committed to helping leaders and entrepreneurs around the world succeed by sharing the secrets to his success. This commitment encompasses books, live events, training systems, and programs. Jamel has been featured in the Huffington Post, Elite Daily, Thrive Global, The Best You Magazine, Charisma Magazine, and numerous other media platforms. Jamel has successfully empowered leaders and entrepreneurs around the world to succeed in life and business, and you can follow Jamel at jamelsanders.com. And you can follow him on Instagram at @officialjamelsanders_. Enjoy.
Get ready.
Ready.
All right. For your wake-up call.
Wake up!
He promises to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and the ugly truth. It's your life and business strategist, Steve Harris.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. It has been a while since I did one of these, but I had to wait because I had to bring someone who is near and dear to my heart, who would literally be one of the most amazing guests, you know, we would have. So you know what they say, you know, it better be worth the wait. And my guest today is definitely worth the wait. He is my friend. He is my brother. He's a great guy. He's a business strategist par excellence. He's an author. He's a conference speaker. He's a preacher. He is a man of many parts. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for my brother, Jamel Sanders. How's it going, bro?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to your audience. I'm excited to be with you.
I'm excited to have you here. You know, we connected, I think it was about a year ago on Instagram. And since then, I have to say this for the audience to hear how it is when you just connect with someone and your spirits just tend to vibe, you know what I mean? Your spirits tend to vibe. And since that moment we met, it's been just the same way. You've been incredibly gracious to me. You've done so many wonderful things for me. And I just had to say, look, I know I owe you a lot, but I got to find a way to pay it forward, man, because my debt profile is stacking, you know. But Jamel, thanks for being here, man. You're a great guy.
Thank you so much. And I feel the same way. I believe that everything kind of revolves around relationships, right, in the world. And when you find quality people, you have to keep those relationships close, and you have to segment everything else accordingly in your life. So thank you.
I appreciate it. All right. So let's get into this. You know, I mean, I looked at your bio and bro, what a bio. Life strategist, business strategist, management consultant. One of the things that actually got me going was you've written 10 books. How on earth does someone ever? I mean, I've written three. And I've got three kids and I'm like, I don't want no more, but you've written 10. How on earth were you able to do that?
God, it's funny because the first book, it's a short book. It's about the soul and healing and transformation. And I just couldn't write it. And so one day I just said, I'm going to lock myself in. I'm not doing anything else until I finish this book. And I finished it. And after that, I have not had any more issues writing books. It's like after that, it just started to flow. And so I didn't have a clue it would be 10 later, but I love to write, and it just gives me the opportunity to put all of these ideas in my head down onto paper and get it out to more people and transform people's lives. So I just love to write.
I think you better lay hands on me, brother, because I need that anointing, definitely. So what would you say, which of the 10, you know, it's like, you know, asking a parent to choose among their many children, but you know, which of the 10 do you think is your most favorite book so far?
I always feel like it's the one that is the newest at the time. But the most important book I think I've written is called Significance. And Significance is a book about identity. One of the things that I've discovered, and I know you've discovered this working with people, is that so many people in the world have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know why they're here. So we're comparing ourselves. We're looking at what so-and-so is doing. Let me augment what I'm doing. And I had that battle years ago in my life, but it's not something I battled recently. And I said, I need to write about this because a lot of people are having this problem. And so I just went deep, very personal into my own story and how I did the inner work to get to understanding who I was. And I think that was the most important book I've written, even though I feel like all of them could be my favorite. But I think that book is the most important.
You know, I know definitely we're going to put the link to your books in the description. But, you know, I think this is a great way to begin, just that sense of identity. So without having to, you know, let you divulge so much that they don't go by the book, we want them to go by the book. But would you mind just sharing some of the, you know, the principles you've learned concerning identity and how we can use that to transform ourselves?
Absolutely. The first thing that is really foundational to that book, because I really struggled with a title. It was like I was asking everybody, what do I name this book? Do I name it Identity? Do I name it? And what God began to say to me is that people are searching. They think they're looking for success, but they're looking for significance. They don't know how to articulate it. All those questions, why am I here? What should I be doing? I don't know what my purpose or assignment is in the world. I feel like I'm invisible. Nobody sees me. Nobody understands me. Everything is about significance. And so the greatest question you can ever ask yourself is, who am I? Not what I do. The first thing we ask people, what do you do? But the greatest question we can ever ask is, who are you? And until you can answer that question, nothing else is really going to matter in your life. And then in the book, I delve into the importance of taking your power back. So many people have given their power away, whether it was through trauma, childhood circumstances, situations, low self-esteem. I know for me, it was an issue of not really having good self-esteem and allowing other people to kind of define the perception of who I was. And so I really kind of delve into what it means to take your power back and to own your personal power. And then as you take your power, you awaken to your significance and you can make a difference in the world around you. So understanding who you are, what you possess, what your values and principles are, because nobody can define that for you but you. And then from there, you build your life and whatever it is you're endeavoring to do.
You know, I love it. You know, but how do you help someone who's been labeled? You know, society just tends to just label you. You know, I even remember reading in scripture, you know, even Jesus was labeled and he asked this team, hey, who do people say that I am? And everyone had a different label and none of the labels fits because he knew who he was. But, you know, somebody who's listening to this podcast is like, look, you said very clearly at the beginning, we define ourselves by what we do. So when we introduce ourselves, say, hey, I'm Steve Harris, I'm a business coach. And, oh, I'm Jamel, I'm a business coach too. So we don't come from that sense of identity. So how do we help someone who is misrepresenting themselves by the labels that have been put on themselves? How do you make that distinction?
That's a good question. I think that the first thing you have to do is you have to do an assessment of your thoughts. You have to think about what are the predominant thoughts that you hold about yourself. How do you see yourself? How do you understand yourself? How do you process yourself? Who are you, essentially? And then as you begin to think about all of those questions, what happens is it leads you to your perception of who you are. Right. And so if we can deal with the thought, we can get to the perception. And if we can get to the perception, we can augment the reality of who you are. And so you have to, ultimately, what I had to do, I had to deconstruct everything I thought was Jamel Sanders and let me redefine who I am, because then you have to ask yourself, is that who I am or is that who people have told me that I am?
Absolutely.
And so as you begin to sift through that, you begin to get what I call your self-concept of who you are. And then you begin to do that work and get to where you need to be. But that's a hard question for a lot of people because it's always based on what everybody else has told them they are. And I think a lot of our branding is even wrong because we've hired a specialist to do it, but we don't really know who we are. So how can they brand you and you don't know who you are? So
absolutely.
Yeah, you have to do the work.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't get that right, it's like, you know, fitting square pegs in round holes. You just don't fit, and you just get so uncomfortable, you know. But let's backtrack a little bit and segue off, you know, the question of who you are. So Jamel, who are you, brother? How did you get into this, and who's Jamel, and how did you get into all of this?
That's a great question. Who am I? At the end of the day, the most simplistic version of who Jamel Sanders is simply a servant to humanity. I mean, we can put all the fancy labels and titles and awards and books and all of that, but at the end of the day, the greatest common denominator, I'm here to serve. And so my story is interesting because I was involved with a consulting firm, and I was working with this firm, and it was like, I don't know if this is for me. This is not my path. But the lady who owned the firm, she began to ask me a question one day, and she began to say, Jamel, what is your purpose exactly? And I'm like, what does she mean? What's my purpose? You know, I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And she said, no, she said, you haven't really figured out what your purpose is yet. And so I was like, okay, I have some homework to do. I have to figure out what that is. And so I just said, okay, the only way I know how to do this, I could ask a bunch of people, what do you think I'm good at? My education is in finance. I mean, of course, I know business. I know all of those things, but what is my purpose? And so I went back to a vision. I was 16 years old, and I was praying, and this word came up in prayer, like over my head, empowerment. And I'm 16. So I'm like, okay, what exactly does that mean? You know, it sounds good, but my assignment was really linked to empowerment. And when she asked me that question, it brought all of that back up to me. And so I said, okay, it's empowerment, but what does that mean? I mean, finance, I'm like, maybe I'm going to empower people financially. Okay, that's it. And all of these people kept saying, no, I don't think it's financial. But I'm like, but my goal is to go to Wall Street. I'm going to go to Wall Street, and I'm going to do this, this, this. And they said, I don't think that's your purpose. So as I delved into that question, I realized that my assignment was empowerment in terms of entrepreneurs and leaders. And so what happened is all of these people began to be attracted to me. It didn't make any sense to me. Doctors and neurosurgeons and political people. And I'm like, all of these people are smarter than me. So why are they coming to me for advice and insight? And God was like, I'm trying to give you a clue that this is what you should be doing. And so from there, it grew. I started a business. Still didn't really know what I was doing. I started a business. I was like, I'm just going to be a life coach. You know, everybody's a life coach. I'm going to be a life coach. Well, that didn't work out so well. About a year or so into that, I was like, this is not it. What should I be doing? And so what I did, I took some time. I said, I need clarity. So I talked to one of my coaches, and she said, you need to get clarity in your life. You need to take a pause and figure out what that is. I'm like, well, all I know is empowerment, and everybody's a life coach, and I should be a life coach. And she was like, I don't know if that's what you should be doing. I was like, okay, let me figure this out. So as I took that time to get clarity, I started to realize that my assignment was not to be a life coach. My assignment was management consulting. It was advising leaders. It was training and developing leaders. And when I got clear on that mission, everything else changed. The business started to pick up, doors open, media open, everything changed for me as I got that clarity. And so I'm glad I got the clarity, because I assumed that you were a life coach. You should be a life coach, and you should just, you know, that's what everybody was doing, and that was the hot button. And I'm like, this just doesn't fit me. And so I found my place as somebody working with and developing and training leaders and helping leaders and even talking with people in government and advising people in high positions. That's what I did best. And that's where I excelled at and exceeded, you know, in terms of being successful with what I'm doing. So I had, and that's a lesson for anybody that might be listening to this. You have to find your niche.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's trying to do, Steve Harris is doing this, I'm going to do this because he's doing this. So-and-so is doing this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to label myself this because so-and-so. Right. You have to find what your thing is. And when you find that thing, everything else will line up for you. Because I'm going to be honest, the first 2-3 years of business were awful. And it was awful because I didn't have any clarity. I was just doing what I assumed I should be doing. And so you have to really find your footing, and everything changed. And people like, what happened? It's like after year 3 or 4, it's like everything started taking off and you started getting all these opportunities. I was like, I just got clear on what it was I should be doing. And it just changed everything for me. So,
you know, I love that because a lot of people erroneously assume that clarity comes by just sitting. But I say clarity comes through execution.
Yeah.
Clarity comes on the journey by trying and failing, and you recognize that this doesn't fit, this doesn't fit. But I want to ask you something, Jamel, right? Now people can listen to this podcast or watch it on YouTube and they see, you know, you're incredibly successful. You know, you're an advisor to leaders. You're an author. You're a media darling, as the case may be, business strategist, you know, the list goes on and on. They see the success, but they don't see the sacrifice. So again, I want us to go back just a little bit because, you know, you were an incredibly great, you know, finance person. Your goal was to be on Wall Street, you know, just hang, you know, doing all that stuff. What did it cost you to leave all that behind to become the man that you are today?
Ooh, how much time do you have? it costs a lot. And one of the things that concerns me today is that people think that success is automatic.
Right.
They think if I just get the Instagram profile right, I get the right pictures, the right wording, and don't even get me on the if I pay $2,000 for an award, now I'm an expert.
Don't even go there. Let's not go there, but shots fired.
I'm just saying, but it's a lot of work, and there was a lot of failure that went into that process. There's a lot of things that I could be doing, but it wouldn't be the thing that I should be doing. And so it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you relationships. It's going to cost you trial and error, not to include the stories of a betrayal, the lawsuits, the things that'll try to, it's a lot that comes with it. And so I tell people I'm a 3-decade success story in the making. It's not a snap your fingers. It's not overnight. Nobody succeeded overnight. I don't care what story we tell or what we hear, but it's going to cost. And I just want people to be realistic, because the problem we have now is we have success, but we have no successors, and we don't have successors because a lot of successes are not being honest about the journey. And so people step into a role and they're excited and they don't have a clue what comes with it. And I'm like, okay, expect betrayal, expect financial hardship and loss and difficulty. And then they're like, I don't know if I want this, but I'm like, but this is what comes with that status or that stage in life. And so it's a heavy price. It's a price financially. It's going to cost you in terms of relationships, because nobody's going to understand your vision but you. And what do you do when God is giving you something that nobody else understands?
Right.
What do you do when you're a pioneer? A lot of what I did was pioneering. Nobody was doing that. Everybody was a life coach. So when you tell them you're not a life coach, they're like, what do you do? So if you're a pioneer, and most people are pioneers, most people, you're going to be the first to ever do it. And so if you're expecting people to understand you, other business people are not going to understand you. and your family's not going to understand you. Most people are going to say you're crazy. You could be doing this, that. And so you just have to resolve within yourself to keep going and don't give up and understand that success is not going to be easy. You don't become exceptional by doing easy. And so if you want to be exceptional, excellence comes without excuses, and it comes at a very expensive price. And I say you have to pay for it every day.
Every day.
And you never, even as you succeed, you have to keep paying for it, because if you don't, there's always the opportunity to go back to complacency and mediocrity. Right. So.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. You know, I love it. Excellence, you know, like you said, being exceptional is really expensive, and most people aren't willing to pay the price. You know, as you know, I recently moved to the States. It's been about 9 months here. And, you know, one of the decisions that made me do it, and we're going to talk about faith in business, because you're clearly a man of faith. I'm a man of faith. And, you know, we don't shirk away from that. But one of the things that made me do it was, again, it was divine instruction. And I felt like Abraham, like God was saying, you know, leave your father's house, leave all you know, and move to this land that I'm going to show you. I'm like, of course, I've been to the U.S., traveled here and there, but, you know, whatever, as a tourist, but, you know, to resettle. And one of the things that I remember God saying to me and putting in my heart was, so back home in Nigeria, in my field, I dare say I'm a pretty big deal by the grace of God. And now I have to leave all that behind. And God said to me, people are celebrating your smoke. They haven't seen your fire. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The people are, they're looking at your smoke and they're excited about it. They're calling it fire, but I'm calling it smoke, and I need you to move and trust me on this journey. And Jamel, as you know, because, you know, we communicate from time to time. It has been tough, fam. It's been tough. Like, I'm like, I don't know. The struggle is real. Right. But I want to ask you, you know, what is the place of faith and how is your faith in God? And I also know that you're a preacher. How have you been able to manage that beautiful, I don't know what the word is, just that beautiful combination of faith and business? You know what I mean? How do you, you know, because again, you know, you're American, I just live here, but, you know, there's that separation of church and state, but, you know, which I think is ridiculous, but how are you able to do that and still share your faith? And people, they come for strategy and then they meet the great strategist through Jamel. How have you been able to do that, especially in America?
Ooh, that's a good question. When I started, I was really nervous about that, because faith is central to everything that I do. So it's like, how do you navigate this world and still keep your faith?
Right.
And that was the thing for me. And what everybody continued to tell me is, Jamel, just be who you've always been. There's no need to modify it or to alter it. Just be who you are. But it really troubled me, because, as I tell you, neurosurgeons, doctors, lawyers, all of these different kind of people. And it's like, okay, we can't just go into, you know, the story of Jesus and the Bible. So how do I do this? And what I've discovered is that it's about lifestyle. It's just about living as who you are and living true to those values and principles that you have. And if you do that, you start to get their attention. They begin saying, something's different about this person. Right. You're not like anybody else. And that gives you that doorway to step into your faith. And it's been awesome, because it gives me the ability to do sneaky preaching. You know, I'm not in the pulpit, but it gives me the opportunity to preach, and they're reading my books. And I'm like, you don't know, you're just reading a lot of scriptures and a lot of Bible stories. And they're like, this is good. And I'm like, you do realize that you're reading the Bible, right? So, you know, we can take our faith into spheres of influence. And I tell people, you can have it all. And you don't have to compromise who you are to do it.
Sure.
And so I just tell people, take Jesus with you everywhere you go. That's the strategy. Mm. Whatever sphere you're in, take him with. No, we can't go into the office and speak in tongues and lay hands and prophesy, but you can live your faith. Absolutely. And if you live your difference, people are going to be attracted to that difference. And that's going to open the door for you. So that's been the greatest thing for me. And that calmed my nerves, because I was, like I said, I was kind of figuring out like, okay, how do I navigate this when you have all of this? You have to be able to manage the secular world and the sacred world and right. merge them together. And the thing that merges them together is your integrity. You live in truth to those values and principles so that wherever I go, people like, yeah, he's consistent in his character. And that's what's important to me.
I love it. I love it. You know, being consistent in character, because, you know, to be honest, that's not something a lot of people talk about. You know, we talk about funnels, we talk about strategy, we talk about Instagram, we talk about your closing, but we don't talk about character. And I love the honesty of that, to be able to say that, you know, Jesus never said, you know, that it's when you speak in tongues that people will know that you're one of mine. You know, he says, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another, you know. And I think that, you know, as scripture says, we are the living word that people are reading. And like you said, they see that something's different about you. You know, you're not giving bribes, you're not acting the fool, you're right on time. You know what I mean? You have values of excellence. And they're like, there's a different spirit about you. I kind of like you because you're different, you know. And I love that thing that you say, you know, just taking Jesus with you, man, because it can be pretty hard. Because, you know, I mean, I'm Nigerian, I'm African, and we're a very religious society. Whether we're Christian or Muslim, we go hard. You know what I'm saying? We go hard, and we don't like to duck it. But, you know, coming to America, I'm like, let's just watch and see. Let's just watch and see. And I even think that this is even beautiful learning for me. Just live. Mm-hmm. Just live. Just live the values that you claim to espouse. And eventually God will do his work. Because I think sometimes our concerns is that we're trying to preach people into salvation. Our job is to sow the seed and let him do the watering. You know what I mean? I think that's really exciting. Let me ask you this, bro. So you've been in business all this time and you're growing and you're having all these things. What's the ugly truth about business that no one ever told you? Like you didn't read the fine print on this one.
I think the hardest thing for me is managing relationships properly.
Right.
I've had some very interesting people from within my own board of directors, betrayal from very notable business persons, betrayal. So managing relations. And then there's the other side where when you have a little bit of notoriety, they're the people that want to ride off of the notoriety and they wanted it. So managing relationships, I think, is the hardest part. I already knew there was ups and downs and cycles to business and it wasn't automatic. So I don't think that bothered me as much. But the different personality types and relationships was something that I had to learn how to navigate and not to take it so personal and just realize that it just comes with the territory. And if you're going to do this for the long haul, you're going to have to learn how to master this and be okay with it. And so that was like the biggest lesson for me. And once I got that down pat, it's like, okay, I know what to expect. I know what to look for. I've pretty much seen everything you can see. So I have a good reference point now moving forward.
Well, I mean, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Let me ask you this. One of your books, I think it's your ninth book, talks about honor. Mm-hmm. And that is a subject that folks do not talk about no more. So I'm curious, man, like what made you get into that frame of mind to say that we need to build a culture of honor and respect? How did that happen?
I taught a lesson probably 5-6 years ago on honor. And everybody's like, you didn't really give all that you wanted to give to it. I was like, no, I gave you the lesson. That was good. And it's like this, things kept coming up in business, in everywhere, that there's just this lack of honor. And so as I was praying and I heard this in my spirit, I was asking God, how do generations come together? How do we pass batons from one group to the next? And he said that you marry generations through honor. And so as he began to say that to me, I was like, okay, now I have to write this book. And so I wrote the book And I used Elijah and Elisha as the model. Right. It's the greatest model of succession in leadership.
Yes. Yes.
And so if we want to succeed, we want to transition and transfer power, we do that through honor. I believe honor is a currency. It's the currency of relationships. It's the currency of business. It's the currency of nations. I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing without honor. And so I know that it's the things that I have done behind the scenes that nobody has seen.
True.
The years of serving and helping other people in their vision that has caused me to be who I am today. And so I wrote that book because I want people from every generation to realize we got to respect each other. We need the wisdom of the elders. We need the strength and the intellect of the young. We need the innovation of the young. We need all of that to come together to advance the world. And so that's why I wrote that book, and it did amazing. It was in Charisma magazine, and it just got a lot of attention, and it's helped a lot of people. So
I think it's such a true word, you know, where you talk about honor, because today everybody wants to be, you know, CEO of me, myself, and I Incorporated, going nowhere fast, you know what I'm saying? So just to see that someone's talking about service, someone's talking about, you know, putting other people first. I remember, you know, back in Nigeria, I have a mentor, you know, his name is Fela Durotoye. He perhaps is, you know, one of my country's undoubted leading coaches and business, you know, business strategists. And I got the privilege to serve him for minimum about 5 years. And in that 5 year period, I mean, I was offered everything where, you know, where your clients are saying to you, like, look, you know what, let's not give the company money. Let's pay you, because we know that you're the guy he's going to send anyway. You're the front man. So let's just pay you and you do the work and the company need never know. And it never, ever sat well with me, because I kept saying that the reason I'm so attractive to you as a brand is because someone poured something inside of me. Someone took time to develop me and coach me and train me and mentor me. I cannot betray that trust. But it seems like we live in a generation where people don't care about trust. They just care about getting to the finish line. We don't care how many bodies we have to bury or step over, as long as I get to the finish line before you. So that message of honor, that message of service and respect is so much needed in this generation. I don't know, you know, how we need to amplify that, your message, a lot more for people to hear, because this isn't even a generation or Gen Z message. This is a message that applies whether you're a Gen Z, Gen whatever, baby boomer, everybody in between. It's that culture of honor and respect. You know, I don't know, man, but it's something that's severely lacking.
Yeah.
On that note, but hey, before we close, brother, let me quickly ask, how do people reach out to you? You know, how can you help my tribe and my community? There are a lot of people who need to understand their sense of identity. That's one of the things you deal with. Just, you know, do your plug, do your thing. You know, how do we get in touch with Jamel?
Sure. The best way to reach me is go right to my website, www.jamelsanders.com. You can find out about me, my books, coaching, training, anything you need, you can get it right there. Contact us. We'll have somebody reach out to you. I think all of my social media links are there. So whatever you need to find out about me is right there on the website. And there's a lot of blogs there covering a whole lot of the stuff we've been talking about today too. So just check out the website. Look forward to connecting.
You know, to everyone who's listening, you know, I got to say this. I said this at the beginning, and I'm not ashamed to say it again. You know, Jamel, you have been a rock for me, you know, just, and to you, it might not seem like much. It might be like a message, oh, hey, brother, hope you're doing well. Or once in a while, I get a message from you, you know, you're tagging me into something. And I'm like, I haven't even done anything for this brother. You know what I'm saying? This guy cares about me. And I think that that's really, really rare, you know, for someone who, you know, this is literally our very first face-to-face, even though we've spoken on the phone a bunch of times, but this is literally our first, you know, face-to-face. And, you know, I want to be able to just tell everyone that Jamel Sanders is an honorable man. Jamel Sanders is a good man. You know what I mean? And, you know, I want to just simply say, God bless you. you know, for just constantly looking out for me, just supporting me, encouraging me. And like I said, you know, before we got on this call, I mean, I'm here for you as well. So I'm yours, man, brother. So let me know however I can help and assist and serve you as well. I believe that, you know, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, the world is hurting. And I think God needs more people like us to be his hands, to, you know, encourage, strengthen. And, you know, I don't know why people just get jealous. You know, you see Jamel doing great things. You're like, oh, you're jealous. I'm like, please, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, cheer him on all the way, support him, encourage him, you know. But yeah, it is what it is, man.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity and the conversation. I believe it's going to be valuable for somebody that listens to it. So thank you.
Definitely. All right, guys. So I hope you've enjoyed the podcast, and we will talk to you soon. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please take a moment to subscribe, share it with a friend, and most importantly, leave a review and let people know that this is the podcast that they should be listening to on the internet. Thank you.